Martin Boozer in Huslia, taking your 24.
I'm stirring some soup. I want them to get the right temperature soup. And right now it's too hot, so I just got to stir for a few more minutes. And, yeah. Hello Central?
Yeah, that's Gnome.
Oh, that's another Gnome program, yes.
That's Richard Benneville.
I know it, Richard. Richard's another good buddy of mine.
So, Martin, you know, I just want to come out and ask you, talk about how you're doing and how the dogs are doing here in Huslia.
The dogs are doing fine. They had a good long rest there, and Martin had a good long think, which is always dangerous if you only have two brain cells ping-ponging their thoughts back and forth. Back to basic priorities, you know. That's what I'm all about, is I'm all about the dogs. And I'm good. I'm happy we're here. I love the welcome. I love the old-fashioned signs on the roadway coming in, just like all the Adira checkpoints used to make. The school kids went literally miles and miles out and made little cardboard signs. Not much more than markers and good intentions, you know. And as I was coming in, you keep reading them because you can't. The two brain cells need to do something. And you chuckle, you know, the teacher tells them, make them inspirational and make them meaningful and yada, yada, yada. And then there's that one cardboard sign, and this saying is, we teenagers look up to you. And made me choke up a little bit, you know. I mean, you feel like a schmuck out there, and you don't really realize that when you're running through Koyukuk country, that, yeah, maybe the local teenagers might actually have some meaningful lessons learned by us old-timey mushers. And that kind of made me proud to come into Huslia, and maybe I touch somebody, you know, just by being me, by doing what I do. And if that's the case, then it just puts everything in perspective.
In a way, it's a nostalgic trip in here. It reminds you of the older checkpoints back in the day, but here we are in Huslia for the first time in the Iditarod.
Yeah, Iditarod is an emotional roller coaster anyway. It lays your thoughts bare, it lays your soul bare. And then coming into this checkpoint, of course, my old mentor, George Atla, who I say I have learned more from with the fewest words. I would go and, you know, lament my this or my that, and I couldn't do this or my dogs didn't do that. And with one-liners, he would set me straight. And so I was thinking about those things here, coming up here, and then having a whole community full of friendly faces and welcome signs and all that made it real special.
I was here last night when Aaron came in, and you know, I'm coming from Nome, so I know what that finish line is like, and it felt exactly like Front Street when the first muster comes in.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Aaron said it was like a huge welcome. It was excellent for people to be out.
You were resting quite a bit, not far from where you're going to be taking your 24. Do you feel like you're still in this race as a competitor, or are you in this race for Martin Boozer to have a good, fun run on 32nd?
Well, that's the thing, is that's where the question's laid, you know. I should just run my race, you know, just travel down the trail. The dog team can't win. I've made enough mistakes in this race so far that I should just get to the finish line. And that's probably what I'll be doing. You know, if there's weather coming up, I can afford to sit for days and wait for my son to come and have a good time with him. I know people pretty much from here on into Nome, wherever we hit a community, I probably have a good time. And I shouldn't overdrive the dog, shouldn't ask them to do what they can't do.
You just said that the dogs can't win, and you've made some mistakes. Those are pretty important words in any race. Can you tell us why you think the dogs can't win, and what mistakes do you think you've made?
Well, it's not the dogs' fault. It's the driver's fault. You know, the mistakes are numerous. Going back to training, going back to not having enough good training into the dogs and then expecting them to be on a Super Bowl performance level, even though they didn't really make the playoffs. So that's just not right, you know. If they're not failing, they're not sore because they're saying, hey, we're going to be sore now. They're sore and failing to some degree because I didn't prepare them right. So since we're the caretakers of these dogs, I better realize that it's certainly not their fault for not being able to make those long runs or short rests or punchy routes and drag this big sled around. That's not their fault. That's my fault for not preparing them right. And then getting down on the dogs would be totally wrong, and that's why I get down on myself so much. And that's what I tend to do, that. I criticize myself to the point where, yeah, I shouldn't be doing it like that. I shouldn't be here in you know, leave Galina in second place or third place or whatever it was, you know. That's getting carried away. That's playing the Super Bowl with a high school team. And sooner or later you're gonna get to pay the price. And that's what I wanna make sure that I point the finger squarely at only one individual, and that's me. I don't want to blame anybody. I don't want to make excuses. I just want to say the guy that's driving this team is to blame. Nobody else.
Is that fair, though? I mean, we saw you and Roan do a really amazing race in the K300. If that's the playoffs, here we are in the Super Bowl. The training grounds haven't been ideal with this weather. I mean, are there other factors at play?
Of course. You know, that there's... if you lose the game, there's a million factors that came in handy to point towards, you know. But I think a responsible coach will always say, I lost the game, you know, and stand up and be, so to speak, be a man and say, yeah, we didn't train on punchy trails. That's correct. I had opportunities. I was just not doing it, you know. When there was snow in other places where we would have had to break trail, I didn't pack up and go. So whose fault is that? Certainly not my dogs. You know, that's just my laziness or my inconvenience. I didn't want to be bothered. I didn't want to be inconvenienced. You hope for a hard, fast trail with training conditions that suit your team or race conditions that suit your team. And then you can always blame the trail, but I tend to blame myself.
So, Martin, it certainly doesn't look like you're going to be scratching anytime soon. So what's the plan out of Huslia on the road to Nome for you?
Oh, scratching is probably the last thing I would do. I mean, I'd probably be out here till breakup. I might even build a boat. I might really get the Iditarod upset at me when I'm still on the trail in preparation for the next year. You know, old man got to have a record. If I make this finish, that'll be 30 in a row. That'll be 32 Iditarod finishes. That'll be more than anybody else has ever dreamt about finishing in their career. And that goes back to the cardboard sign. Finish what you start. That's where it all of a sudden ties things together, you know. Somebody will look up to you. Maybe not for winning, but maybe for sticking it out. Because when you win, you look great anyway, you know. But the cardboard sign made by a teenager needs to be remembered the most when the chips are down. And that's when you can really lead by example. That's maybe when, in the darkest moments, you make a difference. When somebody thinks about checking out, but they don't. They say, you know what? People can overcome, and people can tough it out. I felt like I was on my way to maybe losing it. You know, if I make this race so important that I compromise my values, then I'm a loser. Then I don't hold true to my own beliefs. And that's what I don't want to happen.
So, you know, we've got rookie Thomas Verner following Dallas Seavey. We've got Roan, who's had a couple great K300s. I mean, Roan told me in Nanana he's running the puppy team this year. You think he'll run the A team next year? What do you think?
It's, you know, it's totally up to Roan. After, you know, another season of struggling just to get ready for a race, he's starting to question whether that would be a young man's career. If the new normal is glare eyes, bare ground, traveling 150 miles to run 50 miles by dog team and then drive home 150 miles by truck. If that's the new normal, he's smart enough to see that. And he's not the only competitive team in the up and coming ranks. Is it really worth spending 365, every penny, every hour, every bit of energy on just driving dogs? You know, I'm at the waning end of the career, and he's at the beginning end of a career, whatever that career might be. And he's certainly more than welcome to make up his own mind. He gets a lot of feedback from his parents on how much of a commitment it really is. And we would be supportive, as we have been, in his building formative years of not only as a person but as a dog driver. And we would be every bit as supportive in his decision of not being a dog driver. Probably would make me even more happy, you know.
Well, how about those other guys in that same generation as Roan? Younger guys like Yor and Thomas Werner, as I mentioned, Dallas. What do you think about this younger generation and some of those strategies that they're pulling out? Maybe we can throw Aaron in there because he's got that sled that he's pulling his dogs in too.
Aaron's been knocking at the door for quite a few years. Aaron is a prime example of still doing the homework, still doing the basics that is required to win, and he's willing to travel. He's willing to do the long runs, the campouts, the 40 below stuff, and so are those other guys. The energy level in Thomas and the other Norwegian kid, they're still needing to prove something. They haven't won the Iditarod yet. That's a whole different ballgame. That's a whole different level of motivator.
Well, Martin, I think that suit might be ready for the dogs. I'll leave it to you. Any other final thoughts here in Huslia and as you head down the trail for your trip to Nome?
No, looking forward to hopefully not getting whacked on the coast too much. You know, it's we're smart enough to say not, you know, it's not over until it's over, because if we fool ourselves thinking we have seen it all, we got something new coming down the trail. So we'll just take it as it comes, one step at a time.
All right, Martin, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
That was Martin Boozer in Huslia, taking his 24 and getting ready to feed his dogs. And reporting in Huslia for KNOM, I'm Matthew Smith.